Turn in your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. The 16th chapter of the book of Luke. When I was a boy growing up, it was unheard of for a house of God or a school building to be defiled. It's not an uncommon thing to drive up on these churchyards on Sunday morning and see acts of vandalism. Mr. Darby usually sits right over here, but he's not here today because last evening they burned down the detention hall at the high school. And he's on school business, so you remember him in a special way. We need a revival in America that will restore the reality of responsibility and the reality of parental authority, school authority, government authority. We're living in an age of anarchy. And the only way the problem is going to be solved is not by new social programs or greater education, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm praying for. In 1950, when I was a senior at East Texas Baptist College in Marshall, Texas, and pastor of the Shady Grove Baptist Church, I built the sermon that I'm going to preach this morning. It's 36 years old. Some of you have heard it, some of you have not heard it, but the Lord laid it on my heart, and I hope that you'll receive some help from it today. My subject is four things that happen to the rich man, or it could happen to you. Four things that happen to the rich man, or it could happen to you. And bear in mind, every time I stand in this sacred pulpit, always out there in the congregation, there is some man or woman, boy or girl, who is a stranger to grace, who's lost and never been saved, and you ought to pray fervently for the preacher while he reads the scripture and while he preaches the message, and pray even more earnestly for the souls that may be hanging in the balance in this congregation this morning. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I have just read to you the story of a man who was lost and did not know it. And there are millions of people in the world who are lost and do not realize they're lost. This story also shows this man died and did not expect to die. And many of you in this building, yea, maybe most of us, will die unexpectedly. This man went to hell and could not change it. This man pled for another chance and did not get it. And there's a possibility that somebody in this audience this morning may be lost and not know it, die and not expect it, go to hell, be unable to change it, desire another chance and never get it. He was lost and didn't know it for three reasons. Number one, because he placed no value on his soul. In Mark 8:36, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Verse 37, "For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the most valuable possession that I have or you have is not in houses and lands, dollars and cents, but it's in the soul that will live on either in heaven or in hell. He was lost and didn't know it for a second reason. There was the absence of Holy Spirit conviction. And I want to tell you, by the authority of God's Word, nobody has ever been saved or shall ever be saved unless they are first convicted by the Spirit of God of their sins. So if you're here today and you're lost, one of the prayers you ought to pray right now is that God would convict you of your lost condition. To prove this, on the day of Pentecost, Peter had preached a marvelous sermon. There were people in Jerusalem from 17 nations that had gathered for that Pentecost occasion. And when Peter preached that sermon, the Bible says in Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this," or heard this sermon, "they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" And then he emphasized over and over in this message that if they would seek the Lord, that it pricked their hearts, that the promise was not only unto them, but to their children, and to as many as were afar off, and as many as the Lord their God should call. And I go back in my mind's eye and remember distinctly the first time I felt the presence of God's conviction power, and I repeat again, nobody will ever be saved unless God's Spirit convicts them of their sin. Lost and didn't know it for a third reason. Not only because he valued not his soul, not only because the Holy Spirit's convicting power was not present in his life, but this man loved darkness more than he loved light. John 3:19, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Number two, he died and didn't expect it. Lazarus lay at his gate every day full of sores, begging to be fed with the crumbs that fell from this man's table. This heartless, rich individual had no concern for the poor, sick Lazarus, and even ignored it when dogs would come and lick his sores. But one day, God spoke for Lazarus to come home. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. Same verse.
and was buried. The burial service for Lazarus is not even mentioned. The rich man was buried and in hell lifts up his eyes, being in torments. He died unexpectedly because he was apparently healthy. I read recently about a 24-year-old young man having a heart attack and died. I preached the funeral of an 18-year-old sailor boy that had a heart attack and died. And just because you are apparently healthy does not mean you'll be living tomorrow. Because I repeat, life is not in your hands or my hands. Life is in the hands of God. He doubtless reasoned that did he get sick, he had plenty of money to afford the very finest. He was a rich man. But I'm going to tell you that the best hospital in the world and the best doctors in the world will not spare a man's life 10 minutes or 5 minutes if it is God's time for him to go. Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. He died and did not expect it. He didn't expect it for another reason. Because death is usually unexpected. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. And then he went to hell and couldn't change it. And I do not make any apology for believing in a literal, eternal, never dying, forever burning hell. If we teach that heaven is real, that the street of gold is genuine, that the gates of pearl are genuine, that the walls of jasper are genuine, if we teach that the river of water of life is genuine, if we teach these things as being genuine about heaven, we must be fair with the Word of God and believe in the reality of a burning hell. Four times the word torment or its equivalent occurred in my reading. One time the word fire and one time the word flame. And you better believe this morning, just as sure as there is a heaven where the saved will live forever, there is a hell where the unsaved will be punished forever and forever. He went to hell and couldn't change it for three reasons. Number one, it is God's unpardonable penitentiary. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There are many people out on the streets today that ought to be behind bars, and many of the crimes that are committed in our own state and our own nation are committed by people who are out on parole. Many people who have not served their time. And yet they continue to repeat and repeat and repeat. And are given chance after chance. But let me tell you, when a man goes to hell, it's God's unpardonable penitentiary. He can't change it for another reason. Because Jesus and not his cronies have the keys to hell. There are a lot of people through money and manipulation and crooked lawyers get out of crimes they have committed. And you know that I'm telling the truth today. In fact, the Speaker of the House in Texas said if a poor man had been in his shape
a few years ago that he would have never gotten out because the lawyer bills alone for the Speaker of the House of Texas on the scam thing cost him $726,000, almost a quarter of $1 million. He said a poor man would be behind bars. He told the truth. Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I'm he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. And you better believe this morning that the same one that has the keys to glory has the keys to hell and death. He went to hell and couldn't change it for another reason. Not only because it's God's unpardonable penitentiary, not only because Jesus holds the keys to hell, but he could not change it because it would have made God a respecter of persons. I'm glad I can stand anywhere in the world today and preach the gospel and know that from every walk of life, that the gospel can be preached and God's Spirit can reach down with a preached word. And whether he be the poorest man in the world or the richest man in the world, those that are touched by the gospel and the Spirit of God, I'm glad that class makes no difference with God, that he saves them from every walk of life. But if the rich man had been given this other chance, let Lazarus just dip his finger in water and cool his tongue, it would have made God a respecter of persons. And Romans 2:11 says, for God is no respecter of persons. I'm not going to let you out because I would have to let all the rest of them out. God is not a respecter of persons. And then, this man who was lost and didn't know it, who died and didn't expect it, who went to hell and couldn't change it, wanted another chance and didn't get it. Send Lazarus, let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. God said, son, remember in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from thence to you cannot, and they that would pass from us to them cannot. And I'm here to tell you by the authority of God's word that impassable gulf between heaven and hell is not ever going to be passed. Those in hell are not going to be permitted to come to heaven, and certainly those in heaven would have no desire to cross over to be in hell. You see, I've never met anybody in this world that's going to heaven that didn't want somebody else to go with them. And I've never read about anybody in the Word of God who went to hell that wanted anybody to come there. Amen. I've got 5 brothers. Let him go to their house and testify to them, because I don't want my 5 brothers to come to hell. And notice the rebellion or the depravity of man, even in hell. The Lord says they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And again, he's still arguing in his depravity, and he says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said, I know if Lazarus can be raised from the dead and go preach to them, that my brothers will repent. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets, and if they'll not hear them, they'll not believe, though one rose from the dead. And I can tell you this morning, if you will not believe this gospel message, If the sweetest Christian who's died that you've ever known in your life were to walk in this church building and tell the sweet story of the gospel, you wouldn't believe him or her, because the truth of the matter is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that has the power to change a man from a sinner to a saint. Listen now. If God had given him another chance, it would have broken God's holy decree. And God's holy decree is, if the tree falls toward the north or toward the south, in the place the tree falls, there it shall be. Ecclesiastes 11:3. Simply stated, if man falls unsaved, he's unsaved forever. If he falls saved, he is saved forever. And that's the reason we cannot find anything in the Bible about purgatory or limbo or soul sleeping. These things are not taught in the Word of God. God's decree is, if you die saved, you're saved forever. If you die unsaved, you're unsaved forever. He wanted another chance and didn't get it, because he rejected truth while he lived in this life. I not only believe in the sovereignty of God and his omnipotence and omniscience, but I also believe in the responsibility of man. And I do not believe anybody will go to hell because of Adam's sin. I believe every person that goes to hell will go because of their own sin and not somebody else's. And yet one of the striking things that's in every sinner is that he wants to reject truth. And so while the rich man lived, he rejected the truth of the gospel. And he does not get another chance after death. Finally, he does not get another chance, and let this ring in your ear as a warning to you and me that we're not to presume that God is so loving and so kind that it cost him his justice, and that he will let everybody go to heaven, even those who have trampled underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, friend, universal salvation is not taught in the Word of God. And the same God that shows mercy to the repentant also must show his justice and holiness to those who do despite to the Spirit of grace, count unholy the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, and trample underfoot the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost and didn't know it. Died and didn't expect it. Went to hell and couldn't change it. Wanted another chance and didn't get it. May God have mercy. It's the same God.
Number 197.
Let's stand together, please.